The Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live.
Good Tuesday. Thanks for being with us. We have Fabs today and a lot of room to talk about the college coaching stuff because I really want to go deep into what has gone on, not just over at Arizona State or Lincoln Riley or Notre Dame or LSU or Michigan State. There's just a lot to grab around. So I've got some free space today in which I can stretch myself out and do that. And we look forward to it. Opening comments are brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, taking care of you, taking care of your business. That is Desert Financial Credit Union. We appreciate their support. It is Suns and Warriors tonight. Suns, Warriors. I was downtown very early, actually in the dead of the night. I had to take my daughter to the airport this morning, hence this, at, 3 a.m.? She had a 5 o'clock to Chicago. And I dropped her off, and I start driving back. And I'm like, I'm just not even going to listen to anything. You ever get in that space where you get a dumb song stuck in your head? Like, I got this dumb song, sing a song by, and I'm sure Iron Man knows this, Jared Nielsen, he's probably cracking up right now, by Karen Carpenter or the Sesame Street Gang, depending on who you are favoring. You guys know that, so I'm not going to sing it. But it was stuck in my stinking head this morning at 4 a.m., and I'm back here, and I'm got my tree up, and I'm in a great mood, and I sing a song. Shut up. How do you get this out of your head? Anyways, so I'm downtown. I'm thinking I'm going to be back down here tonight for Suns Warriors. Suns Warriors should be what we all hope for in the Western Conference Finals. We're here in November, and the Western Conference Finals are not until May, and that's still almost 7 months away. But we're hopeful that this is what we're going to see. I'm going to get there early, like many. I'm going to gawk at Steph Curry. I want to watch how Steph Curry goes through his pregame routine. I've loved doing this when greatness comes into town. And I'll go way back on this. When greatness like Michael Jordan would come into town, I'd get to the arena early. When Karl Malone would get into town, I would watch Karl Malone run the stairs of the arena. The whole arena. And then he'd go out and kick the Suns' ass. Greatness. John Stockton would get out there and go through his pregame ritual. You just sit down there. This is when you could just sit down right on the court. Or if it's a guy like Ron Artest would come out and he'd go through kind of a interesting pregame deal. Kobe would always be in the practice court, so you wouldn't see him. And I'm talking about all the visiting players, right? So tonight, if Steph Curry is out on the floor, I'm going to get to the arena about 3 hours early anyways. That's what I do. And I'll set up my shop, I'll go down, or I'll be in my position, and I'll just watch. Because I love watching greatness. Once upon a time, I get a call from a PR guy, and he said, hey, Tiger Woods is going to be here working on his game, getting ready. This is the WGC down in Tucson. He said, I'll get you an interview with Tiger Woods, one-on-one. You want it? Absolutely, I want it. So I tell my photographer, this is why I'm doing the local TV thing. I said, we're going to go to Tucson tomorrow. We're going to get Tiger Woods. He said, at a press conference. I said, no, we're going to get him one-on-one. This PR guy used to be in San Diego, good friend, could hook me up. PR guy says, get down there around 8 a.m. and you'll be just fine. I'll meet you out there. And he'll just be teeing off. So we get down there at 8 a.m. and the PR guy comes out and he's shaking his head. He said, Tiger got here at 5:30. He's out on the course. You're probably going to pick him up around 16. So we go down to 16 and sure shoot. And there's Tiger Woods all by himself. And he's working. And follow him to 17. At 18, PR guy comes out, introduces Tiger. We do about 5 minutes with him. It's all we need. One-on-one. It's great. He finishes, excuses himself. He says he has to go work out. This is like 8:15, 8:30. He finishes his workout. He does a corporate deal. He's got all these sponsors for the tournament. He's there and he's talking with them. And then he's chipping and he's putting. And then he's got to go do a formal press conference. I go sit in on that. And then he goes and grabs lunch. And I leave. I call the PR guy that afternoon around, 2:30, 3 o'clock. I said, hey, man, thanks so much for what you did. This is great. He was awesome, and I appreciate the heads up and you helping me out. And he said, you won't believe this. He's back out playing another 18. He's not going to get done until 5:30. So, you know, when these guys are really good, it's not like they just roll in. I love seeing the grit and the grind beforehand. I love that. And so tonight, for me, it's a guy like Steph Curry. Steph Curry is getting standing ovations in visiting buildings when he's introduced. Happened the other night against Clippers. Wall Street Journal had a big story on Steph Curry and the love fest that's going on for him. I'm going to be there tonight wanting to see that. Devin Booker talked yesterday at practice about how he's known Draymond Green since his high school days, that Draymond used to give him NBA socks. And, of course, Steve Kerr and Draymond were part of this last Olympic team. And so there's just so much around tonight's game that's tied in together. And where those guys are is where Devin Booker wants to be. And so it's not just another meaningless game on the calendar as I sit there and watch a lot of nights of bad NBA basketball. There are a lot of bad teams. There are. And that's not taking away from the Suns winning 16 games in a row. You would think at some point there'd be a burp, a hiccup, a back-to-back. Like the other night, they just blew through Brooklyn at the end on a back-to-back with the Knicks. And so here they are tonight with Golden State in our hometown, in downtown Phoenix. The place should be jumping. It should have a feel of more than just a November game. These two teams will meet again on Christmas Day. But I really hope to see the two of them go at it in May, late May this year. That would just be phenomenal. It just would be phenomenal. And I want Curry to score 35 tonight. I want him to go crazy. I want the building to go nuts. I want you to be entertained. We don't want 89-87 tonight. Two teams shooting 42% from the floor. We don't want these two teams to be playing last night. Neither one did. I look at things like that. I don't like it when it's a back-to-back because I know the quality of play simply won't be as good. And so tonight, both teams are rested, both teams on the West Coast. They're not coming from an East Coast game last night and all that stuff. And it's just going to be fun. The Warriors are 18-2. The Suns are 17-3. This is why we love sports. It is. For all the nonsense, you know, the regular season, the length of regular season, it doesn't matter if it's football. Like, the Cardinals play the Bears this week. If Kyler and DeAndre don't play, to me, This November basketball with Warriors and Suns, I can't see these two teams. This is not going to be the backup to the backups that are out there getting the heavy minutes tonight. So very much looking forward to that. In terms of the Cardinals, and I did say, if Kyler and DeAndre don't play, I do want them to get on the field because I think timing is important for this squad. What Cliff Kingsbury has decided to do in not saying, guys, I am staying here. I have no interest in going to Oklahoma. In the next segment, I'm going to get heavy into ASU and heavy into the college football stuff and all that. But as it pertains to Cliff Kingsbury, if you think that this is anything other than his agent getting it out to Adam Schefter, I would gladly dispute you on this. This is the good old fashioned, hey, we have a great opportunity here. But I think the conversation for these pro coaches needs to focus a little bit more on, hey, maybe it's not so bad being a college head coach. I mean, have you seen the deal that Lincoln Riley is getting at USC? And really, Lincoln Riley, when we hear the argument has been, well, you know, he's got to go recruit, and you know, we don't like that. He's got to go into bedrooms and houses and see kids' trophies and eat their food. And yeah, no, you're Lincoln Riley. That's your position coach that can do that. And you come in to seal the deal. You come in to seal the deal. I had a great story told to me once by just happened a few years back. Top high school player here in this state. Alabama is interested in this top high school player. And so Alabama reaches out and said, Coach Saban wants to talk to you. The player shows up at the office, and Nick Saban is going to jump in on Zoom. He's going to zoom in. And so the player is there with his coach and with his family, and he's looking into the screen, and right on time, up pops Nick Saban. Nick Saban says, "So I hear, son, that you're a very talented player, and we just want you to know that, you know, we'd love to have you here at Alabama, and it'd be a great fit," and on and on. It's like a minute of from what I was told by a couple people in the room. And the kid says, because it's a kid, "Coach, you know, thank you so much. And man, this is really such a tough decision. I'm not sure." Okay, boom. Screen goes black. Nick Saban hangs up. Poof. So in this world of recruiting, they can go find who they want to find when you get to that level. And maybe for a guy like Cliff Kingsbury, if Oklahoma were to back up a truck, I'm saying maybe. I think there's, when you see that Brian Kelly's going to get $15 million at LSU, we'll get into this on the other side, but think of Cliff Kingsbury's situation. The role of an NFL coach, and if you just look at the Arizona Cardinals, what is the common theme of the Arizona Cardinals? This isn't being critical of them. It's just, look, how long a shelf life does a coach of the Arizona Cardinals, a head coach, how long the shelf life does the head coach of the Arizona Cardinals usually have? And it's usually around 4 years. It just is. Things change. And so Cliff was questioned. Cliff wasn't great. Cliff doesn't have the biggest numbers, all that, for the first couple of years. And now here's this. And so the agent's just doing what the agent is paid to do. And he's going to put that stuff out. And Kent Summers asked the question rightly of, why don't you just close this? It's not something I want to address right. Well, it's not that hard to do what Mike Tomlin did. Mike Tomlin was the one that reached out and says, never, ever, ever. You know, maybe should have said never say never. I don't know. I'm going to get into the college side of this in Arizona State. I have some thoughts on all this, the Pac-12, the window. The national perspective, you know, people are talking about Spencer Rattler and ASU and, okay. And, you know, Trainum leaving, there's going to be more. I'll get into all that on the other side. Then Michael Fabiano will be with us on a Tuesday. I'm Brad Sussmat. The football season rolls on. New users can bet $5 to win $200 in free bets. If your team wins this week, thanks to our partnership with DraftKings. Here's how to claim this offer. You sign up for a DraftKings Sportsbook account. That's easy. Make your first-time deposit of $5 or more. That's simple. Place a $5-plus wager on your football team, and if they win, you win $200 in free bets. That's right. Just go to dkng.co/sports360 to claim this offer. Again, that's dkng.co/sports360. Act now. This offer won't be around forever. All right, so I want to get some college stuff. Actually, a lot of college stuff. Arizona State, Trainum leaves. I was with some people whose opinions I trust immensely a couple of weeks ago, and they said, yeah, Trainum's going in the portal, and these guys are never wrong. And I said, I'm not surprised by this. Are you guys? Like, no. So I think the deal on Trainum was, from my view and the people whose opinions I respect and trust, is he had a hard time hanging on to the football. And White obviously took off and put up big numbers. And so Trainum leaves. Trainum will go down in my mind as when ASU had Bijan Robinson. I don't think I've shared this story on the stream. So Bijan Robinson was sitting in Tucson, and Herm hires Sean Aguano. And Bijan told me this story when at the National Football Foundation lunch, because I said to him, what happened with ASU? And trust me, I am not one of these guys that's like, oh, man, you got to be a Sun Devil, forks up and all that. I don't do that. I don't ever do that. And when I have people that are with me that do that, I'm like, you're trying to influence a kid. You know, I bring you along to see these kids. I don't bring you along as a recruiting analyst, okay? And some people don't like that, but that's just how I'm wired. I don't want to sway a kid's opinion. Now, if a kid asks, what do you think? Yeah, if I really feel like strongly sharing with them. So I'm talking with Bijan. He's like, Mr. Sussmat, you know, I wanted Sean Aguano to come to Sal Point. after they hired him, but instead they put him on a plane and sent him back east, and it was train him. Okay. So where are we at here exactly? Train him's gone, Bijan's a star, and this goes back to, oh, we got to get stars. Yesterday, Case Hatch put on social that he is returning to Arizona State, and I think this is very good for Arizona State. I do. Case Hatch, from my understanding, has been one of those leaders that this team lacked, a lot of them. And Case Hatch is someone that's not afraid to even rough up a teammate if need be. And that happened. And you've got to have some guys that are willing to hold people accountable. And so, you know, I think that's a good move on their part. I'd actually like to see ASU get away from the braggadocious, we got to have 5-star and 4-stars. I just hate that. I don't see any reason for that. And that leads me to Spencer Rattler. I have not talked about Spencer Rattler much of at all on this show through the years. You know, we did a documentary on Spencer years ago when he was a kid over at Pinnacle High School. I was happy when we first started the project, and by the end of the project, I was like, let's just get this over with. You know, the QB1 thing that he was a part of was about as distasteful a showing of a kid as I've ever seen. And so he goes to Oklahoma, and everybody's all excited and stars and this and that. And then as quickly as people build him up, they're there to tear him down. And I've just been consistent. I just haven't looked at him. Not interested. So he goes to Oklahoma. It doesn't go well for him. First time he's had adversity. They bench him, and it goes sideways, and now his coach leaves, and now he puts his name in the portal, and now fans are saying, oh, we got to get Spencer Rattler here. And Spencer Rattler is better than Jane Daniels, and on and on and on. God. And look, if they decide to go, you know, in my opinion, Jaden is probably 70-30 leaving. I had some people that told me that there was a few people that hope he would leave. Jaden regressed this year. You know, I don't know what's going to happen with Zach Hill. Is Zach Hill going to be here next year or not? To think that everybody on the staff is going to return, that's crazy. That doesn't happen even in a good year. In fact, in great years, a lot of staff leaves because they get poached for other jobs. When you have a year like this one where, you know, you can debate whether this was a great season or not, because there are those of you in the audience that think beating U of A constitutes a great season. And I'm never going to be able to change your mind. You just think that's the end all of end alls. And that's for you. Spencer would come here and would probably be a 1-year guy, right? So are you really solving the issue? And with the transfer portal, like ASU had some success in the portal. They had some success. But if you're going to build a program around the transfer portal, meaning, okay, we're going to go get a guy who's been someplace for a year or two. We don't have to wait for him to go through his freshman year. We don't have to wait for an 18-year-old to become 20. He's already been through it someplace else. If you hit all over on the transfer portal, like Michigan State landing a running back who's just sitting there wasting away, and then he goes and he tears it up, then yeah, you may find lightning in a bottle. There's no question that Spencer has talent. None. I just look at it and say, I think at the quarterback position, if you become one of those places that we're going to have somebody for just a year or two, that you're going to get heartbroken at some point, unless you have 3 or 4 or 5 guys. You know, and they don't. And not only is Spencer in the portal, Jack Miller is in the portal from Ohio State by Chaparral High School. Chubba Purdy is in the portal by leaving Florida State by Perry High School, and he's back. Chubba's been contacted by 2 schools in the Pac-12. Neither one of them start with A or S or U. In fact, our hometown heroes have not even called, not even texted, not even DM, not even, hey, how are things going? Nothing. It's just, and that in itself speaks to, what are we doing exactly? What are we doing? 43 wins, 35 losses since 2015. What are we doing? And as this has progressed with the lack of interest in local guys, now the high school coaches are starting to get after ASU. It was funny yesterday, Jason Mons over at Saguaro, one of the top programs in the state, every year turns out guys. This year, Keely Ringo and Denzel Burke make the all-freshman team. Keely's over at Georgia, Denzel's at Ohio State. And Jason Mons yesterday puts out on social, so happy to see Arizona, NAU, and, you know, the local schools. And, like, these other schools coming by, because yesterday was the first day of open recruitment. No mention of ASU at all. And fans have picked up on it now. And they start sending. And then Jason Jewell over at Brophy, who's sending Ben Morrison on to Notre Dame. He's got another player going to Texas. So happy to see this school, this school. No mention of ASU. And you guys think I'm giddy on this. It's just, you know, it's beyond ridiculous how we're just going to show you guys that we're not going to care. So to think that, like, you're Spencer Rattler, you're in the portal, and you've got people talking about you should come to ASU, you should come home. Let me fill you in on something. Does he have the offensive line in front of him? And you'll say, oh, we have all these stars. Like, okay, can they stay onside? Or they jump off sides? I don't know. How many false starts did we see this year out of the people up front? They have the best receivers. Heard this season, oh, you know, our receiver crew, well, we have all these stars. Are they going to be on a national stage every week? And so, yeah, ASU is playing Oklahoma State. That's going to be a very good game. They're also playing Eastern Michigan and NAU. Those aren't going to be good games. And if you're coming in just to get your numbers rolled up and to show the next level of what you're all about, again, I would go back to the question of why would a player come to Arizona State? So give me the reasons why. If they want to get attention for 1 year, like, I'll give you an example. I've heard Spencer's name to Florida State quite a bit. So Florida State opens up with LSU. You're right there, man. You're right there. Mike Norvell knew Spencer when he was here. Not saying that's going to happen, but just go down the list of these programs, these power programs, and who is in a position to give Spencer Rattler the best opportunity to get to the next level? And then you're Arizona State, where are they going to start shifting? Because I've kind of heard this behind the scenes. Maybe it's not as important to go get the five-star guy, and I would be happy if this shift actually happened. Maybe it's more important to go get a team that has leaders. Because in this day and age, if you get the five-star guy through and through, how many of them are just, I got to get my touches, I got to get my reps, because I'm not going to be here, and I'm out. And when things get tough, I think I'm too well to attend. I think I'm too well to play. I've seen that in the basketball end of things. A player just wants to get his 1 year in and get out. And I think that is something that is starting to take hold on the college football end. You know, when people rip on kids for not playing in bowl games, it sounds very much to me like, get off my lawn. And I'm not going to do that. Because if a coach can just walk in the middle of the night like Brian Kelly and say, hey, we have a meeting tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. Here's my goodbye note. See you later. And by the way, I'm going to make $15 million and you're not free to transfer, but now you are with the transfer portal because the lunacy of it all, of holding these players hostage, so to speak. Lincoln Riley can have both his houses paid off, have a private jet 24/7 for his family, and make the type of dough he's going to make. And we're going to get upset with coaches and loyalty versus a player being allowed to go elsewhere. Train him's homesick, or if train him didn't get to play enough, or train him wasn't this or that, God bless you. Go chase it. If Chuba Purdy has 3 surgeries on his shoulder because down at Florida State, they just can't seem to get him on the field, just can't seem to figure it out because quarterbacks are live as freshmen, the very first scrimmage, then leave. Jack Miller is behind 10 guys at Ohio State or 2 guys at Ohio State. Get out. Spencer's not happy at Oklahoma because it didn't all work out. Then leave, but give me a really good, compelling case as to why Why Arizona State? Why? It's a program that has not finished in even receiving votes in the top 25 in the last 6 years. Now, maybe he's the guy that can revive all that. Maybe he is. But, I mean, it's there's plenty of quarterbacks that are in the portal. And the Notre Dame job is sitting there. If it's Luke Fickell, if it's Matt Campbell, the domino effects still haven't gone all the way through. So if you're a college quarterback, and I mentioned Chuba, and I mentioned Rattler, and I mentioned Jack Miller, three guys from right here in the Valley, you still have to sit there for about another week, even 2 weeks. You have to get past LOI. You have to be sure that that coach is even going to be there, or that recruiting coordinator, that assistant coach, that position, all these players that are out there grabbing at you, all those people are still even going to be there. So I'm sure it makes for fun shows, But I mean, me, I look at it and just say, you know, yeah, Jaden is here right now. If Jaden doesn't want to be here, put your name in the portal and move on. Like, the quicker that the exodus comes from ASU, and if you think that Trainum is the last one that's going to leave, no, there's going to be several that are going to leave. And if Antonio goes, as many people believe, then even more are going to go. So you're going to have this whole changeover. You are. And accept it. I think if you're a USC fan, it's going to be pretty easy to cheer, but the expectations on Lincoln Riley. And in that market, man, if you are just eight wins, nine wins, seven wins, and you can go to the Rams game, you can go to the Chargers game, you can go to all sorts of things. Dodgers are playing, LeBron's playing. If you're not at the top of your game, if you're not showing up on Kimmel late night, then you're just part of the equation in the LA sports scene. It's a whole different deal out there. That job's not for everybody. I've worked out there before I came here. That was where I grew up. I've seen it. Seen guys get chewed up, not just in the coaching ranks, media, all of it. Fabs is next. We're going to talk with Michael Fabiano about all things on the fantasy football front, brought to you by DraftKings. That is next on a Tuesday. I'm Brad Sussmat. All right, let's take a minute here to talk about DraftKings. This is important, guys. The football season is rolling on. New users can bet $5 to win $200 in free bets if your team wins this week, thanks to our partnership with DraftKings. Really happy to have them on board. Here's how to claim this offer. Sign up for a DraftKings Sportsbook account. Make your first-time deposit of $5 or more. Place a $5-plus wager on your football team, and if they win, you win $200 in free bets. It's that easy. Just go to dkng.co/sports360 to claim this offer. Again, that's dkng.co/sports360 to claim this offer. Act now. This offer won't be around forever, thanks to DraftKings. Now, as promised, brought to you by DraftKings, it is the one and only Michael Fabiano, senior fantasy analyst, of course, with SI.com and SiriusXM Fantasy Dirt. What's new, Fabs?
The Cowboys aren't doing so well, so, I mean, that kind of stinks. But it's been a very weird month of NFL and fantasy football action. And I think the biggest story, of course, is all the injuries, right?
Right.
Now McCaffrey's out for the rest of the season. Dalvin Cook got hurt. DeAndre Swift got hurt. You know, Darren Waller got hurt. Debo Samuel got – it's ridiculous. And, you know, now we've got 17 games that the NFL is going to play. And, of course, you're in a situation where you're deep into the regular season. We're going into week 13, so you've only got a couple of more weeks of the regular season in fantasy to go, and suddenly you're scrambling. The good news is that there are probably more good options on the waiver wire this week than there will be typically at this point in any season because of all these injuries.
Okay, so I'm going to go through this just from a strategy standpoint, because you and I have talked through the years, and you are the wisest of the wise. That's why you're a Hall of Famer. But occasionally I'll look at you and I'll tilt my head and I'll be like, I don't know. And so I did some things that are a little different this year. And this is going to sound very self-serving, but it's just strategy. In the eighth and ninth rounds of our fantasy draft, I drafted Madison and Pollard.
Yeah, and smart.
Because the way that it works now in the NFL, these guys like McCaffrey, you're going to go burn a high pick. And I just didn't think Carolina's run game was going to be very good, and Chuba Hubbard and all that. But I just look at it and say, do you have to start really changing your focus if you're going to play this game? When you first got into this league, when you first started becoming, before you were the Hall of Fame Michael Fabiano, you would have never done that strategy, right?
I mean, handcuffing running backs has always kind of been, you know, something that people have done, but not that early. So going out and getting those guys in the middle rounds, I think that's kind of like what you have to do, especially if you have Dalvin Cook. Like, you need to have Alexander Mattison, even if that means you have to draft him a couple of rounds early to make sure that you get him. Same thing with Tony Pollard. You know, he's one of the most explosive backups in the league. And this week, Zeke practiced on Monday, but, like, are they going to use him in a full capacity against New Orleans with the knee barking? I don't think so. So, like, Pollard has standalone value. And now Mattison, until Dalvin Cook could come back, and we're talking about maybe like 2 weeks where he's going to be out at minimum, right? You're hoping it's only 2 weeks. Well, suddenly Mattison could be, end up getting you to the playoffs because he's that good of a backup. So a very smart strategy. And unfortunately, a lot of people out there, you know, dropped Chuba Hubbard with McCaffrey coming back. Jamal Williams got dropped in some leagues as well. So now those guys are going to get picked right back up and started in week 13. As I've worked through Stardom and Sit'em, which you can find at si.com/fantasy on Wednesdays, I got a lot of backup running backs as starts this week.
Yeah, no, I'm sure. And the mailbag's just filled with running back questions, so I'm being real generic. You know, there are a lot of questions about Dontrell Hilliard. Where are you at on that one?
Yeah, well, the Titans have a bye this week, and I actually started Hilliard in like three leagues last week, and I was not expecting him to go for over 100 yards and score as many points as he did. But, I mean, it looks like it's Foreman and Hilliard, but we also don't know how Jeremy McNichols will, you know, come into the picture once he's back from his concussion. And again, the Titans are off this week, so if Hilliard's out there, you can grab him and sit on him. I just don't know if that's going to end up being a three-headed backfield monster once McNichols is back, and in which case that would be somewhat of a nightmare there. But, you know, the biggest add this week is going to be Chuba Hubbard. It's going to be Jamal Williams for certain because of the injuries to the backs ahead of him on the depth chart.
Okay, so the question about buys, I'm starting to get that from fans. This is, again, strategy, and this, I think, points towards next season. You don't want a team that has a buy in week 5. You do want a team that's got a buy in about week 10 because it just feels like, without fail, these guys are going to get hurt because the game is becoming so much more violent, and you're going to put all this money, all this stock into a guy in the first or second round, and you're just praying that if his buy is week 5, that he's going to stick around for 12 straight weeks to be there for you. Do you buy into that with buys? Because there are some later buys now.
Later buys are certainly better, right? In terms of looking at a player's overall value. Like, if you've got two players with similar value and one guy's got an early buy, one guy's got a later buy, I like the guy with the later buy better. Yeah. But I don't know. I don't know that buys are going to affect how you draft in the future. Unless it is between two players with similar value. And then I'd rather look at strength of schedule over buys.
Henderson with the Rams. You've talked about him early in the season. He's going to get hurt. He's going to get hurt. He's managed to get nicked up, but play through it. Getting a lot of questions about his status this week.
Yeah, he's got some sort of quad issue. So, and I don't know that we're going to know exactly his status until, you know, somewhat closer to the end of the week. And I mean, the Rams are, you know, they lost three games in a row, so they need everybody, but they have the Jags this week. And that's not a formidable team. Let's put it that way. So if Sean McVay decides, well, I think we can beat this Jaguars team without Darrell Henderson, you know, Sony Michel, maybe you grab him off the waiver wire. In fact, not maybe, you should, especially if you have Henderson just in case. Yeah, Henderson has been better than I thought. He's a talented guy, but boy, you're just waiting for that big injury to come. And luckily so far, the big one has not come. He just keeps getting nicked up pretty often. But keep tabs on his practice status. And in the meantime, go out and get Sony Michel off the wire if he's available.
Every week, he is the senior fantasy analyst with SI.com, SiriusXM Fantasy Dirt. We've had Michael Fabiano forever. He's brought to you by DraftKings. We appreciate DraftKings and their support. Taysom Hill, huh? Is this the week?
Man, Abs. Last week, the week before, I was posting it on Twitter, free Taysom Hill. He's been freed, it looks like, right? He's running with the ones right now for the Saints, and they need some kind of spark in that offense. So if he's available, go get him. Remember last year when he started those games in place of Drew Brees? I mean, he was averaging, you know, right in the neighborhood of 20 points per game. That's pretty good. Mobile quarterback with a big arm. So, yeah, he needs to be added across the board. I don't know why they went to Trevor Siemian. My guess is that Taysom wasn't 100% right between the multiple injuries that he's had until right now.
And then giving up on Seattle Seahawks players across the board. There's a lot of people that are just
what's going on? Like,
yeah.
Here's a crazy stat for you. I'm going to bring this up. Over the last 4 weeks, okay, and this includes Russell Wilson, who's not been good. Over the last 4 weeks, all right, four quarterbacks have averaged more than 19 points per game. Four, right? Only two have averaged over 20 points per game. In the first 8 weeks, 14 quarterbacks averaged over 19 and 10 averaged over 20. The quarterback position has been bad the last month. It really has been. Like, November was not a good month for quarterbacks in fantasy or otherwise. And I'm not just talking about curtain jerkers, right? Patrick Mahomes has been bad. Lamar Jackson's been bad, right? Jalen Hurts has been bad lately. There's been Matthew Stafford has been bad. So I don't know what's going on. There's some sort of crazy epidemic with quarterbacks right now where the numbers are not there. And suddenly, you know, we're looking at Trevor Siemian was in the top 10 2 weeks in a row. Like, what the heck's going on? I mean, it's just crazy. So even Patrick Mahomes, do you feel good about starting him this week against Denver? I mean, he's had four bad games in his last five. He's had one good game in his last five games. So, and I think I said this last week, if you sat Patrick Mahomes for five straight weeks, you'd have been right four times to do it. And that's bananas. It's Patrick Mahomes. So I'm hoping that things change. But the quarterback position has been bad. Russell's been terrible. I mean, he wasn't awful from a fantasy perspective last night, but he wasn't great either. Let's put it that way. And, you know, this is the NFL is really built on, you know, the strength of their quarterbacks. And we've seen some less than stellar play from quarterbacks and really teams over the last month or so. It hasn't been the best month for the NFL.
Well, and I'm sitting here with Tyreek this week, and Tyreek is a boom or bust guy for me right now.
Tyreek's going to get his. Like, I always say, people are like, well, how can you say a wide receiver is going to do well when you're projecting a bad game for their quarterback? A wide receiver can go for 6 for 90 and give you 15 points. It doesn't mean the quarterback's going to have a big game. It doesn't matter. So you'd like to have a big game from the quarterback because obviously that's going to trickle down to his receivers, but it doesn't necessarily mean if that quarterback has a bad game, that means bad things for all of his receivers.
All right, before I get you out of here, last question, as you look towards this week, what's catching your eye early on this week going towards this weekend?
Like I said, it's all the injuries. Jamal Williams this week is a startable asset. Alexander Mattison is a startable asset. Tony Pollard's a startable asset. You're seeing a lot of backup players. And even like, you know, with Debo, now Brandon Ayuk is a really good play, and he's been better the last 4 weeks. And suddenly he's going to be the number one wide receiver there for the Niners against Seattle, and their defense is, you know, hit or miss for the most part, right? But it's been all of the injuries and all of the, you know, all of the maneuvering that fantasy managers are going to have to do, and you're going to have to be really active on the waiver wire this week, because if you're not, well, you don't want to get to the playoffs. I mean, bottom line, because there should be some pretty good options out there. Kendrick Bourne has three top 10 finishes since week three at wide receiver. Kendrick, who's my guy, who's been on my show. I've played in the fantasy football league with him. Like, he's not the sexiest name in the world, but I mean, he's getting the job done. I said this last week. I was like, Kendrick's kind of like that guy that if I need a starter, I'm going to put him in because I have a shot at having a pretty good stat line. So really going into this, don't be afraid to start some of these guys, you know, who may not have the sexiest things. Like Hunter Renfrow's been awesome. He's been, and Darren Waller's hurt. So you may be able to get some really good production from Renfrow again. And by the way, Foster Moreau, if you're looking for a tight end this week, Darren Waller's not going to play. He's week to week. And the last time Waller missed a game, Foster Moreau is a guy who stepped up. So with the injuries and players who are not playing up to snuff, like, it's weird to say this going into week 13, but there are guys on the waiver wire that you could pick up and play like this week to try and help you. Because remember, you do have four teams on a bye and injuries are just all over the place. It's a mess. Look at the first round, the ADP from this year. Yeah. McCaffrey out. Henry out. Kamara's missed games. Dalvin Cook is going to miss games now. He's already missed some time, right? It's ridiculous how many guys have. Aaron Jones has missed time. Unfortunately, it's not been a good season for those top-notch running backs in terms of being able to avoid injuries.
I'll let you go off that. Great stuff as always. Stay safe. Thanks.
Take care, my friend.
There's Michael Fabiano. And every week he's brought to you by DraftKings. You can catch Michael, of course, at SiriusXM Fantasy Dirt and SI.com. He is their senior fantasy analyst. And we're back with more after this timeout.